Blog Talk Radio. We Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, well, well. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, everyone. This is Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV. I'm your host. I would like to welcome you to our weekly Bible study at Praise Tabernacle Church, where our bishop, our pastor is Bishop Omar Zachary and his lovely wife, Lady Zachary. I'd like to say just welcome, welcome, welcome again to everyone that has tuned in so far. And we want to pray that everybody will have a blessed Bible study, that deliverance will come, healing will come, whatever is needed, you know. And I just want to thank our panel members that are on tonight. Give God glory for them that are on. And just as they give their input to the lesson, that someone might hear something that will bless them, that will help them, that will help deliver them, that will help heal them and set them free so that the Lord can use them in such a way. And we have a great speaker tonight who's going to be your speaker. And I know this man very well, and I pray that you will encourage him and bless him and be praying for him as he teaches this lesson upon tonight. And that man is me, Elder Taylor. I will be bringing the word today, and I just want you to pray with me and for me as I start off our lesson with a prayer. Lord, I pray that you are moved by your Holy Ghost power tonight, that you have your way tonight, Lord God, in the word, and that someone will hear a positive word, either from myself or from one of the panel members, Lord God, that will encourage them, that they will continue to seek your face, that they will continue to thrive in you, in your joy, in your peace, in your love, in your mercy, Lord God, that you will continue, Lord God, to bless them, Lord God, as they continue to strive to be more and more like you. Lord God, we give you all the glory, Jesus. We give you all the honor, Lord. And we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, because this is a day that you have made. And Lord God, we pray that you rejoice in it. And let them that have an ear hear what you are saying to us this day, Lord God. And we pray that
you know, that this word is an on-time word, Lord God, and that I give you all the glory. I give you all the power, Lord God. And whether I give it to you or not, I have to say, Lord God, that I honor you. I magnify you. I lift you up, Lord God. And so everybody that's tuned in, I pray that they do the same thing in your honor, Jesus. For you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You're the Alpha. You're the Omega. You're the beginning. You're the ending. And we say thank you, Lord God. And we love you for all that you do on our behalf, Lord God. In spite of whatever we're feeling, that we can tune in and listen, it's a miracle, Lord God, that you've blessed us to see the light of a brand new day. And I just say thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Okay, well, welcome everybody once again, and I just want to let everybody know that I love you with the love of Jesus, and I pray that you get something out of the word tonight, that everyone is tuned in, and for even the people that are tuned in, that come in late, a little later, hopefully I can remember to repeat some of the things that I'm saying, you know. Just because I want everybody to feel the love of Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to talk about tonight, as Evangelist Stan likes to say, our couch talk, what we want to talk about, the love of Jesus Christ. And the title that I want to use for tonight is, What Does Love Have to Do With It? So if we ask ourselves a question in terms of our walk with Jesus, our relationship with Jesus, what does love have to do with it? And for me, it has everything, as I would hope that it would mean for anybody, and I mean anybody, regardless of what you call yourself or how old you are, or how young you are, is that it should mean everything. What does love have to do with it? And your answer should be everything. So we're going to come out of the book of Jeremiah, and the scripture is going to be Jeremiah 31. And before I get to reading scriptures and stuff, I want to give you a little background of Jeremiah, who Jeremiah was. He was a prophet of God, and he was a prophet unto Israel, unto Judea. And it seems like every time he gave a word from God, the people of Judea, you know, started to disbelieve with some of the stuff he was saying. Because how could God do this or do that to us when we know that he loves us? So what I want us to do tonight is that I want you to find yourself, have I ever been like the country of Judea in Israel? Have I ever been like this? Because Judea became a stiff-necked people. And Jeremiah came to give them a warning, to let them know that something's getting ready to come down the line for y'all if y'all don't get it right. And I'm going to ask the panel to jump right in. You know, if I go too long before I give you a chance to break in, you know, just stop me, jump right in, ask something, correct me on something or anything that I may say incorrectly, you know, or just add your opinion or your thought or whatever the Lord lay on your heart to say from any of the panel members. They began to do certain things to Jeremiah. They began to arrest him, put him in jail. They tried to shut him up, you know, because, you know, they became a stiff-necked people. They even got into idolatry. They began to do all kind of things because they thought they had so much. God loved them. And God did love them. Jesus loved them. God loved them. And he really did. You know, but they wouldn't believe what Jeremiah was telling them, that God would allow this to happen to us. You know, Jeremiah was saying, you know, get married, have children, build houses, because it's about to come down the line. What's getting ready to happen to y'all? You know, and so Judea became in captives by the Babylonians. Jeremiah tried to warn them, but they wouldn't listen. Jeremiah spent more than 40 years proclaiming a message of doom to the stiff-necked people of Judea. You know, and despised and persecuted by his countrymen, Jeremiah bathed in harsh prophecies. You know, so he went through a lot. Jeremiah did, and his heart was broken because he it seemed like everything was a bad word from God, but they wouldn't do what God was trying to get them to do. Have we ever found ourselves in that position? God tries to reach us, but we're always doing something else. God tries to talk to us, but we're busy doing other things. He loves you. He loves you so much. So, let's go into the scriptures. Chapter 31, starting with verse 1. So I'm going to read through these scriptures, and then we can go back and break them down and get into the meat of it. You know, I'm going to try not to get so deep that somebody might not understand what I'm saying. You know, so I'm trying to keep it basic and for as many people to understand what we're talking about as much as possible. Amen? All right. So, first verse. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel. They shall be my people. Okay? Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And that's what he's telling the children of Israel. I have loved thee. Everlasting love. Therefore, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Verse 4. And again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. And again, it's going to happen for him. That's what the Lord God is telling. That's what Jeremiah is trying to do. Verse 5, thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. But there shall be a day that the watchmen upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise, ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord. A God. Verse 7. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Verse 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth child together. A great company shall return thither. Verse 9, they shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein thou shalt not stumble. For I am father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord. This is what Jeremiah is telling. He said, hear him. Hear what he's warning us. And declare it in the isles afar off. And say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd through with his flock. For the Lord, verse 11, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore, verse 12, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. There shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow anymore at all. Last verse, verse 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. This is when the Lord is saying, and this is all after they've been freed from their captivity. Because see, Judea was captured by the Babylonians for over 70 years. They were captive by the Babylonians, being ruled by the Babylonians. But they would not heed to the warnings of this coming captivity. Why would God do that to us? He loves us. You know, so they didn't want to hear from Jeremiah. They put him in bonds, put him in jail. He wasn't allowed to marry, you know, and certain things of that nature. They tried to take from him. So I want us to do tonight, I want us to put ourselves or think, or have we ever put ourselves in a position that the country of Judea and Israel was, because the Lord God will bring calamity, or he will allow calamity, okay, to get us to acknowledge where we are. So, and in my studies, I was looking at, there's about 50-something or more different scriptures that talks about the word love. And when you love something, there's no strain to do anything, because God loves us so much. And he wants to do so much for us. But are we really ready to receive what the Lord God wants to do for us? Because we want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing like Judea began to do. Like I said earlier, they got into idolatry, different things they began to dibble and dabble, because they thought God loved them so much that he wouldn't do anything to them. Little did they know, you know. So, you know, when you love something, there is no strain to do what you do. And when we love God, see, God loves us so much, but do we love him? Do we reciprocate that same kind of love? God loves us unconditionally. But can we reciprocate that same kind of unconditional love towards God, regardless of what we go through? Regardless if we're sick in our body, regardless if we're going through something with a family member, regardless if we're going through something with one of our own children, if we're going through something on our job, can we still love him the same way? Can we still do the same things that he has called us to do before we start going through those things? Do everything have to be 100% right for us to do what God is calling us to do? What does love have to do with it? Everything. Because if I love him and I'm giving him glory and I'm giving him honor, regardless of what comes my way, I'm going to give it to him. I'm not going to try to handle it in myself, because I love him. And I know that he loves me, and I believe that he loves me. What does love have to do with it? God allows calamity to come to for him to be able to get the glory in our lives. Some of us go through many different things. We're not going to all go through the same thing. It's just where we are in with the Lord. Calamity will stop us from going any further. A lot of times, to get any deeper into something that could possibly destroy us. So he'll bring calamity to stop us. He will allow calamity to stop us from going any further because he loves us so much. Whenever we don't have an ear to hear what he's saying, calamity may come. It may not always come, but sometimes it will come to prevent us from going any further than what we're starting to dibble and dabble in. The love of God, the love of Jesus, opens up so many doors for us that we can walk, we can walk in his joy because he loves us. We can walk in his peace. I'm not saying your peace, but his peace, his joy, because he loves you so much, because he loves me so much. Judea forgot about that, you know, because he loves you and me so much that we can walk in his grace. His love allows us to walk in his peace, his mercy, his healing in our bodies. Whether it's our mental state or whether it's our physical state of healing. Because he loves you and I so much. And sometimes it doesn't matter what we're dealing with, what we're going through. Because if he allows you to go through it, understand, I said go through it, not stop in it. But if he allows you to go through it, because he loves you, he wants you to get on the other end of this thing so that he can get the glory for bringing you through. Because he loves you and I. What does love have to do with? Again, I say everything. His love has everything to do with it. I believe there's a scripture that says, you know, that we can endure hardness as a good soldier. We can endure because of the love of God in our lives. We can endure any and everything that may come to us if we look at it and try to look at it through the eyes of God. You know, ask the Lord to give you, as I do, an ear to hear what he's saying unto us. So that he doesn't have to always allow some kind of calamity to come into our life to get our attention. Because he wants to bless you. Just like any good parent, you know, we want to see our children happy, regardless how old they are, whether they're a little child at 3 or 4 or they're 24. We want to see them happy. We want to see them blessed. And any good parent will usually go through whatever they can to get them that way. That's the same way God is, because he loves us so much. And again, I ask, what does love have to do with it? I'm opening up to the panel if they would like to add anything. If not, I will keep it moving.
Elder Taylor, this is Minister Tolbert. I would like to add something here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, definitely a great job so far, good message. And I want to piggyback off of one of the things that you just said and provide what you were talking about. You talked about the scripture, 2 Timothy 2 in verse 3. It says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then verse 4 says, no man that wars entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. So meaning that it's all for a purpose, and the purpose is for who chose you. You're going through the whole fight for who chose you to be a soldier in the first place. So if we're soldiers in the army of the Lord, then we got to understand that we've been chosen by God. We've been chosen for a fight, and we have to play our role in this fight, but we have to serve, right? And we're serving him.
Yeah.
So let's look at adding that onto just a couple applications on what you read on tonight. Verse 1, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and thou shall be my people. So that's for the children of Israel. That's God laying his claim on them as his soldiers at that point, to the scripture that you were talking about, that you were referencing. That's the claim and the establishment of a relationship right there, that they've been claimed as God's people. Now, when we continue, thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. So when we're talking about the people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, we can use another application that they were saved and pulled out of the sword of the Egyptians and were led to the wilderness, because that was their escape from there. That's God seeing them through their struggle and making a way out for them at that point in time. But also, as we get into the next scripture in verse 3, he had everlasting love because he continued to be there for them even when they act up. Same thing like we do. Children of Israel acted up in the wilderness, and we do the same thing. And he still had that love and still was there for them even through all of that. And that's why I love the scripture where it says, therefore, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. God does so many things in our lives to pull our attention, to show that he loves us. Even though a lot of times we do a lot of things that can be viewed as, well, maybe you don't love God like you say you do because you continue to do so much craziness, so much this, so much that. But God continues to give us that everlasting love, that love that us humans, we don't possess, God possesses. He possesses a different level of love. If I'm not mistaken, the agape love, I believe that's what it is, right? And it's just amazing that he possesses that love, and that's the kind of love that we have and show towards one another. So like you said, when it comes down to what does love have to do with it, everything, and we have to show the same love that God has shown to us, the children of Israel, we have to show that type of love to each other. And that's what I want to say, and awesome job.
That is so good, Minister Tolbert. I really appreciate you injecting those points, you know. And I hope someone got something from that, you know, because it's very important and so much part of this lesson. You know, God's warning is clear. Judah's time for repentance was soon to pass because they defied God's word and refused to repent. So the Babylonian captivity was inevitable, you know, because they refused to repent, you know. And Jeremiah, you know, God seen him as patient and holy, you know. And so he delayed the judgment for a little bit, you know, not for long, you know. Chapter 31 is a key chapter in the book of Jeremiah. And I just want to read something here that I have in my Bible I think could bless somebody. And it reads, amid all the judgment and condemnation by Jeremiah are the wonderful promises of Jeremiah. even though Judah had broken the covenants of her great king, God will make a new covenant when he will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be his people. Chapter 31, verse 33. The Messiah instituted the new covenant with his death and resurrection. That's in Matthew 26:26-29. So, you know, that was a key part of Jeremiah, you know.
I would like to make a comment real quick.
Go ahead.
What was that? Was that verse 2? I'm on my phone, but I'm trying to go back to it. It was verse 2, finding favor in the wilderness. God, it just took me back to my kids. I have 5 kids. And it's not that I love one more than the other. They say I favor some more than others because some of them do what I ask them to do. They don't ask no questions. They say, yes, Mom, they go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
The same with God. God loves us all. The ones that keep his that love, that's the only commandment you are really obligated to keep, because everything else will fall in place. If we just do what our Father commands us to do, okay, you will see the favor that he has, and you will receive the favor that I have, and you will receive the favor that he has for you. But because a lot of people don't want to display the love that he so strongly suggests, you're not going to see the favor that you so well deserve. Everybody deserves his favor, but you're not going to get it because you're not abiding. And we have to abide in the love that he tells us to. And I tell my kids, I have, like I said, I have 5 kids. You please mess up, because you're saving me a lot of money. You're saving me a lot of things that I want to give you. I want to give you, but you're tying my hands. I can't bless you. I want you to have that car that you want. But guess what? You can't take care of what I gave you.
Right.
Well, drive the bucket first. Let me see that you appreciate it. Keep that clean. But a lot of times I have 2 that just can't get right. One is just getting on the bandwagon. Well, both of them getting on the bandwagon now because they see the other blessings the other 3 are getting.
Right.
And that's how God is. We have to display the love to show people do people want what you have? Do people want what you have? Are you displaying it? People have to want what we have. But you have to do what I'm doing to get what I'm getting. You have to love his people. You have to give.
Right.
You have to give of yourself. Give of your time. But we want to get. Get all we can and can all we get. And don't want to share anything. It's just me, my foe, and no more.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. Very good point, Evangelist Bluette. I really appreciate that. You know, because God loves us so much, and he wants to do much for us. But when we don't reciprocate that love back towards him, and like Evangelist Bluette said, the word love, that's a big umbrella, and a lot of things fall under that love. Because when you love, that opens the door to so many other things that we can walk in. Like I said before, we can walk in his joy. Because, you know, when we're in our flesh, joy is temporal. Okay? We can walk in his peace. We can walk in his grace, in his mercy, in his healing. We can have the confidence of God in our lives. We can receive correction without always getting mad and upset because of his love for us. We can endure hardness as a good soldier because of his love for us. I believe there's a scripture somewhere that says, you would know them by the love that they show towards one another. His love also teaches us how to love each other as Christians, as men and women of God. It teaches us, His love teaches us how to treat each other so that we can be an example unto the world and how to love people of the world. His love can teach us that. So
amen.
We have to be able to receive His love in our life and be delivered. Allow His love to help you get delivered or whatever we need deliverance of so that we can better serve Him. Because we say, Lord, I want to be more like You. But do we mean that? Because that means we got to love people unconditionally. In spite of what they say to you, what they think of you, how they feel about you, because Jesus loves everybody. He loves the ones that are ill. He loves the ones that are healthy. He loves the little children. He loves the old men and women. He loves the people in the institutions, whether it be prison or hospital. Even ones that have died and gone to hell, to lift up their eyes in hell, He still loves them. In spite of how they talked about Him or how they treated Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who should ever believeth upon Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. His love won't make Him make you do nothing, because He loves us that much. And like we do with our children in our flesh, you know, we make them do stuff. Because we know better than. Even God knows better than us. He always will. So we must understand that there is strength in the love of Jesus and the love of God. Because Jesus said, when you see Me, you see the Father that sent Me. There's strength. There's power. And His love. Love is not a weak word. Love is not a weak thing. Love is strong, and love can be binding. So we have to understand, you know, just say, for example, you're going through something on your job, like, you know, I'm going through and so many of us are going through. But you say, Lord, I need You to remove this person from this situation. Don't kill them. I don't want You to kill them, but I need You to remove them. And then within the next day or so, or the next week or so, they're doing a completely different job somewhere, even not even within your eyesight no more. God allowed that to happen because He loves you. Not so much that He loves you more than He loves them, but they may not even be a believer like you are. See, our obedience is very key into how we can operate and move in the love of Jesus Christ.
Hey, Elder Taylor.
Do we have an interview? Yes, sir.
I just want to intervene for one second.
Go ahead.
So,
go ahead.
Yes, sir. So chapter 31 is end times. And if you go back to chapter 30, concerning those end times and concerning us even now and how we walk and how we go through trials and tribulations and how we don't think it's pleasant right now, how we think God might not be with us at this time. If we go to verse 11 in chapter 30, the preceding chapter, chapter 30 of Jeremiah, verse 11, it says, "Well, I am with you, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." So that's love. And as my wife was saying earlier about our kids and how she loves them and what she does, because they all work for her. Under her businesses, they work for her, saves her money that when they don't cooperate. But anyway, God loves us so much that he will correct us.
Right.
That he will have us to understand what we did wrong. That's love. And a father or a mother that will not correct their children does not love them enough to see their future or their walk where they are at life, you know, in life right now. So God loves us enough to take us through trials and tribulations. And when we, and I believe this in my heart, that when we go through the same things all the time, is that we didn't learn the lesson in the tribulation or the trial.
I believe that too. Yes, sir.
We didn't walk with it. We didn't accept it. It seemed like we done came out of it when we haven't really, we really haven't, and we're still going through. And people are always saying, oh, woe is me, and I'm always going through stuff and all this, that, and the other. It's we have to get the lesson out of the situation that we can conquer the trial and the tribulation and move on to the next best thing. God loves us enough to protect us when we're in it and gives us enough time to learn the lesson to come out of it and be a better person. That's true love. So we can't get mad at God because he's allowing this to happen.
Right.
We need to get mad at ourselves for allowing it to happen.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, Elder Lewis, that was so good, man. I some very key points in there, you know, because, you know, we, like you said, we can't get mad at God. You know, could the Babylonians, I mean, could Judea and Israel get mad with God because they were in captivity? When they had when they had warning, they had enough time to get it right. But they didn't have an ear to hear. You know, they heard what Jeremiah was saying, but they was like, they just shrugged it off. You know, as we can be sometimes, as we can do sometimes, if we get in our flesh. Or high-minded and think, oh, God, I wouldn't do that to me. You know. And then when calamity comes, we want to blame him. You know, and another thing I like what you said, Elder Blue, is about, you know, we go through the same thing, you know, more than once. Because we didn't learn nothing the first time or the second time. Hopefully you don't get to it third time, you know. So you have to be able to receive correction from the Lord without issue. And know that he's God. He knows better and he knows more than you and I will ever know. And like I said earlier, he will allow calamity to come to stop you from going any further. And like Elder Blue S said, he will give you the strength to get through it, you know, so that you can learn as you go through the process. But you have to keep pushing into him as you go through whatever it is that he's allowed to come up on you. You have to keep praising him. You have to keep giving him glory. You have to keep praying to him. You can't stop because you're going through something. And that's where, what I believe is, can we reciprocate that love for him the same way he loves us? And to answer that, I say, yes, we can. And we operate in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Because our flesh would never be able to identify with God. He would not be able to identify with our flesh because he's a spirit. So we have to have the Holy Ghost to be able to teach us and to guide us so he can identify with the Holy Ghost within us. What does love have to do with it? It has everything to do with it. You know, so we just have to understand that
We can't willfully do sin. We can't willfully do this and think God is not going to correct it. If we're calling ourselves this, that, or the other in Him. But then again, and we're willfully sinning at the same time. You think He's going to allow that to go unpunished or correct us? But warning comes before any kind of calamity or destruction may come towards you. I believe the warning comes to us, either by God or God has sent someone to give you a warning. Get it right, brother. Brother Taylor, get it right before this, before something comes upon you. You know, can we hear what somebody else is saying unto us? And over in Mark 12:30, it talks about with all thy heart, you must love Him. With all my heart. You can read it later on at your leisure. Mark 12:30, chapter 12, verse 30. With all thy heart, you have to love Him. So what I want to do is just let us know that, you know, regardless of what we go through in life, Jesus, God, loves us. And we can't blame Him. Let's learn from what we go through. Let's learn from what we deal with. And continue to trust Him. Because His love for us allows us to, and we should be able to love Him back and know that in the end, I got V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. What does that spell? Victory. In Him. Because how much Jesus can do for us, it's up to us. God, he has the power to do any and everything. He can make you love Him. But He's not. He can make me love Him. But it's not. But He's not. He's that kind of gentleman. We have to love Him because of who He is and what He is. Because that love allows, our love for Him, His love for us allows us to trust Him and to believe in Him. Judea was in captive by the Babylonians for about 70-something-odd years before God restored them. And because He loved them so much, He restored them. In verse 31 of chapter 31 in Jeremiah, it reads, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant." He wants to do a new thing with Judea because He loves them. They're His people. He wants to do a new thing with them. He said, "Behold," in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Verse 32. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers," because they're probably all dead and gone now. In the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." That's when Judea was captured by Egypt. Egypt was ruling it. "Which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord." Verse 33. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts," gonna put it down on the deep inside of them, "and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Last verse, verse 34 that I'm going to read. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. But I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Because He loves you, because He loves me. If we can just repent and get it right,
The new covenant is the fifth and last of the theoretic covenants pertaining to the rule of God. You know, so he gave another opportunity. This is when he restored Judea. So once we've been restored through God in him by his spirit and because of his love for us, can we move on and do the things that he has called us to do?
Taylor,
because he
I just want to go back and read 4 and 5.
Okay.
In the NIV, it says, I will build you up again. Now, he keeps using that word again.
Mm-hmm.
I will build you up again. And you, Virgin Israel, I will rebuild again. You will take up your temporal and go out to dance with joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards, Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. God is going to keep doing it over and over and over, and he's going to have you on a hill, that you a city that can't be hid. Your light's going to shine. We have to get it right so we can be that light that God called us to be.
Absolutely.
People can want what we have.
Right.
Okay, in verse 5, the joy of your fruit, the latter part of 5, I don't know what it, let me go back to the King James Version of 5. Let's see what it says. Sorry. I'm on my phone in the dark.
It says, thou shalt plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things.
And it's not going to be nothing. It's not gonna, it's got to be nothing for you to eat of your fruit, of what you labor for, and what God has planted in front of you. What you have planted, but God allowed you to enjoy the life that he set before you. But you have to follow these simple, the one simple thing, love. Everything else falls up under there. It falls up under there. Everything in this word, we have to take the whole word and eat it. We can't just take out what we want to take out. Okay? And we have to read these scriptures and understand the scriptures that we're reading. It's word for word. We can't take out one word. Because one word that you take out, it might mess up the whole, what it's saying. But
that's
we have to eat this whole, the whole word. And believe me, God don't want none of us lack. He wants us to have abundance so we can be a blessing to others. But he's not going to give you abundance because you know you ain't going to share it.
Right.
And people wonder why I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I give. I'm a giver. I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably the hardest person. My kids think I'm just so hard. I am hard. But they know at the end of the day, they can get anything they want if they just do, you know, what I ask you to do, because it's for your good. And that's the same, this word. It's for our good. We may not understand it when we read it, but once we start getting into it and living, try to live right and do right, the scriptures will start coming to you, and you'll start remembering, and you'll be like, dang, that's what that means. And you'll want to do it. You'll want to do right. You'll want to love. People want, why do you bless your enemies? Why do you bless? I don't have no enemies. I just have people that don't like me because I'm going to tell you you're wrong. You can find out people, real friends, people don't know how to accept when you tell them no or when you tell them they're wrong. Okay, don't ask the question if you don't want to know the answer. But don't tell me to correct you and I'm correcting you and you get an attitude when I'm correcting you. And I tell my kids all the time, you cannot get upset when because they correct me. I'm not exempt for correction. And I'm starting. My husband had to correct me the other day. But guess what? I have to take Hannes on and say, you know what? I was wrong. And we have to learn how to accept when people tell us no or people don't agree with what you're saying. You can agree to disagree. But
right.
Don't cop an attitude and be bitter.
Right.
You can't make it let you stay bitter because you're going to go to hell bitter. We have to love each other where we are. If people show you who they are, believe them and love them for who they are. Everybody's not raised like us. Everybody wasn't raised like me. My husband wanted to give my kids everything. They got to work for everything that they want for me. But we have to come in the middle, you know, Pink, you know, he'll come to me with certain things, just like God. God will give a certain thing. I know how they can't handle it. If you give one of these kids, he got two Mercedes. He want to give one. No, he's not getting it. Drive the bucket that you have first.
Appreciate it.
I'm not giving no kid no Mercedes. And he said, no, I'm not. Because they won't appreciate it. God is not going to give us stuff that we can't, that we handle right now. So when God says no, it's not a denial. It's just a wait. Not right now.
Right. Yeah. So.
Amen. Can I add one more thing, Elder Taylor?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
One more thing. So this chapter, again, is talking about the last times. If you really study it, it's talking about the last times. And I want to mention this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, then they that feared the Lord, those of us who understood and feared him, not in being scared of him, but feared him for his majesty and his love and who he is. So 16 says, and they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book Remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. See? So just saying, if go ahead and do what the word of the Lord said. Just try it. Just do it. Just do it. And a book of remembrance is being wrote right now. About our actions, our ways, and the things we do. That book is being written right now as you live, right? If we would just try to do our best, even in trials and tribulations, if we make a mistake, we repent. If we have to go back through, we can get it right because we remember the trial. We remember what we didn't do right. We get on to the next issue or the next situation. Then they that feared the Lord, meaning us that love the Lord, for who he is, spake often one to another. That's us speaking one to another. That's us encouraging one another, exhorting one another, as we forsake not the assembly of ourselves when we go to church. That's what that means. Exhort right. one another, teach one another, encourage one another, testify in front of one another of the trials and tribulations that God brought you out of, or even the things he just blessed you with. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, or the Lord understood it, or the Lord did it, or what you prayed for, the Lord manifested. He hearkened, right? And heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So we, you know, it's so anybody listening tonight, we just gotta do the best we can do.
Yes.
With the ability and the gifts and the callings that God gave us. So when you mentioned earlier, Elder Taylor, about it written in their inward parts or written on their heart, that's the Holy Ghost that he's talking about that hadn't came yet. That is the Holy Ghost that gives us the strength. To walk
right.
this thing day by day, that in our hearts he would plant his covenant. In our hearts he would plant his law of the Old Testament. of things we should do naturally. And all the Old Testament was about was what we should do naturally. That's right. And everybody couldn't get it. That's why he had to send somebody that could redeem us from the sin that we're in.
Yes.
That could redeem us from the sin that we're in, which was Jesus Christ. And if we have faith in him and fear God, he will hearken unto our needs and everything that we would even ask for if it's in his will. Yes, sir.
Can you tell me what was the scriptures you just read in Malachi? What was the chapter and the verses?
Malachi chapter 3, verse 16.
Thank you, sir. Evangelist Bluett, are you still there? Minister Tober.
Yeah, I'm taking my client to the bathroom.
Can you dismiss us when we're ready?
Say it again?
Can you dismiss the Bible study when I'm ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'll bring you back when I'm ready, okay?
Okay.
All right. So I want to encourage everyone that's tuned in, that has listened. I hope and pray that you got something from it, something that you can share with someone else about the love of Jesus, as Jeremiah spoke it. Jeremiah was a powerful prophet. He spoke truth. He was holy in the eyes of God, and he suffered for it a lot of times because he always spoke the truth of God. And when people are in their flesh, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. And Jeremiah gave them the truth all the time, as far as I know or read. And he was honest with the people of Judea, and so he was rebuked sometimes. He was put in bonds. He wasn't allowed to marry nobody in the country of Judea. He was rebuked. So God had to really do something to the people of Judea to get their attention, get them turned back, because he loved them so much. So I want to say thank you to our panel. Absolutely great job again tonight, as usual. And I expect nothing less from our panel. Minister Tolbert, thank you, sir. Elder Bluett, thank you, sir. Evangelist Bluett, thank you, ma'am. And I don't know of any other member that has tuned in yet. So I just want to say thank you, guys. Thank you to all the listeners that have tuned in. I'd like to give a shout-out to Brother Tyrone, who is a co-worker of mine. Be encouraged. God loves you, and we love you as the Ministry of Praise Tabernacle. I love you. Janice Brown, who is a manager at my company, I think she's tuned in tonight, and I just want to say thank you, Janice, and I'll see you tomorrow. Tyrone, I will see you tomorrow. Sister Kendra, I think she may have tuned in tonight. She's another co-worker of mine. So I just want to encourage everyone to be encouraged. And just remember that, you know, Jesus will love you with an everlasting love, you know. And with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So just be encouraged and know that God got us. We just have to be obedient and open up to his correction and to his positivity, to his love, to his encouragement. And allow the spirit of the Holy Ghost to live in you. Cause so we can always have a spirit to hear what the Lord is saying unto us. And try to be more spiritual about things that we see in the world. And not everything be of the flesh. Because usually that's when we get it all wrong. When we always walking in the flesh. So, if there be nothing left from the panel, I will turn it over to Evangelist Bluett to dismiss the Praise Tabernacle Bible study. Thank you, guys.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you
for another Bible study, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing for your people. And in your people, Lord God, continue to strengthen us even more, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to show more love, Lord God, to this dying world, Lord God. Help us to be the light that you called us to be. Lord God, and I just want to say thank you for Elder Taylor, Lord God, for another great word. Lord God, continue to use him for your glory, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you for everything that you're about to do. With every listener, Lord God, help them to show more love to those around them, Lord God. Lord God, and all the family members, Lord God, the co-workers, Lord God. And I just want to just say thank you again for just using Elder Taylor, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, to take self-inventory again on ourselves and how we display our love one another, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you again to every listener, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. As we always do, we read Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things.
But
lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all, and good night.